Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here. Another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 11. I almost missed this one. I did. I was looking at verse 19, and I'm going, okay, blah, blah, blah. Chapter 12. And it's just like the Holy Ghost said, read that again. Read verse 19 again. And boy, I tell you what, am I glad that I say I didn't miss it. It's like God said,
hey, Mike, take a look at that right there.
And that's what has to happen a lot of times when we study the Word. The Holy Ghost will draw us to places in the Bible here. And we think we've got it all. Well, I've got, okay, that looks pretty simple. And then we just get into the meat of the Word, and we find out that we taste and see that the Lord is good. And I love this Bible, and I love what it says, and I love what I'm seeing here in verse 19. I want you to look in Revelation 11, 15, the seventh angel sounded. And then look at verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And this idea of the trumpet sounding, we've been covering this now for I don't know how many months we've been looking into this, but everything that we've read up into here is telling us about the translation of the church and the salvation of the remnant of Israel. And God's going to save those people. He's going to reveal himself to them. The veil of Moses that's mentioned in Paul's letter to the Corinthians is going to come off, and they're going to see who's behind that veil. It's Christ. Moses could not even lead them to their earthly promised land. And so the Jews who are still depending on Moses, even some of the Christians who are saying, oh yeah, the Torah, you got to follow the Torah, all the secrets are in the Torah. Moses could not lead them in. He couldn't. He failed. God said, speak to the rock the second time. He got mad and hit it. Moses failed. And the law, and the law that God gave Moses, the failure of the law and the failure of the covenant was, of course, not the law itself. It was the people. People fail. Moses failed. He was disobedient. Turned away from God. But I believe, well, we know Moses is not burning in hell because he shows up in Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration. And don't get me wrong, I love the law. The law is good. And every time, I'm like Paul in Romans 7, every time I do something stupid, yeah, that's the law of God. I broke the law again. I don't say, well, that doesn't apply to me, or I don't believe in that, or that's no law to me. I do things that are wrong, and I break the law of God, and I consent that the law is good. But the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, cannot bring the people into the Promised Land. It can't do it. All the types and all the doctrines and all the teachings that are in this Bible prove that and show that to be true. So there's only one testament that can lead God's people in to the Promised Land. Remember, Moses couldn't do it, but Joshua did. Jesus can, and he will. And so when you look at 19, we have the trumpet sounding. Now God's going to reveal himself to Israel, and look at what happened. The temple of God was opened in heaven. Not the rebuilt one that, we're going to rebuild the temple and Messiah's going to come to us. Not that temple. The temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Now, I've heard a lot of theories on the ark of the covenant. Where is the ark of the covenant? And some have said, well, it's in heaven because you see it, you know, God transported it up into heaven because you see it in Revelation 11, 19. I disagree with that. Because God promised, and I didn't bring this scripture. This teaching here is just, it's relatively new to me. As of like last night. Anyway, there was a verse in the one of the prophets said, it shall be said no more, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testament, or the Ark of the Lord. In other words, they're not going to regard that anymore. And there are, I believe, there are groups of people on this world that are desperately trying to find this magical box called the Ark of the Covenant. And I think that they're going to, they think it's going to give them eternal life or like Raiders of the Lost Ark or whatever. But the original Ark of the Covenant built by Moses with the Ten Commandments and the pot of manna and all that stuff, that doesn't seem to be anywhere on this earth. God took it away. Just like he destroyed the temple and every, he, God basically made it impossible for the Jews to follow their religion, to follow the law. He made it impossible for them to do that. This is not the ark that Moses built in the wilderness. It is not. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. The ark that Moses built in the wilderness was only a shadow of what was in heaven. There was all, God had showed Moses the Ark of the Testament in heaven. God showed that to him and said, see that you build all of this according to what I showed you in the mount. So this is not the one that was with Moses. And it does, well, I'm not going to say it doesn't have the Ten Commandments in it, but the Ark of his Testament is not the Ark of the Old Testament. That Testament, according to Scripture, has been done away. This is the Ark of the New Testament that now is revealed. It's opened up. The temple is now open, and now Israel can see the Ark of the Testament. They can see the New Testament, the New Covenant, and they're going to see Christ for who he really is. And let me show you this in Scripture. So we have the temple of God was open in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. There were lightnings, voices, thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. Notice in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, this was actually a prototype shown on the day Christ died. You remember what happened in the temple? The veil was torn. So in verse 50, Matthew 27, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. There we go, an earthquake. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So there's a resurrection here, and I believe this is a type of this, and it's the resurrection of the dry bones of Israel. But I want you to notice that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. So for the first time, and I was doing a study in the book of Numbers, and I noticed that every time the Ark of the Covenant was transported, it was always covered. The table of showbread and the everything that pertained to the tabernacle, cloth was put over it, or badger skin was put over it to hide it from people, showing that the way of salvation is not revealed yet to the Israelites. So right here, the Jews, most of them, other than the Levites, have never seen the most holy place, not of the tabernacle, not of the temple. They've never seen it. So now for the first time, the veil between the most holy place and the temple and the sanctuary and everybody else now is torn. What that shows you is, number one, God was showing Israel an empty temple. The ark was not in that temple. And from what we can tell from Scripture, nothing else was either. There was no menorah, no table of showbread. All of the items that were transported from the temple in Jerusalem into Babylon in the days of the Babylonian captivity, every item was meticulously cataloged and recorded in the Scriptures, right down to the spoons and snuffers. What you don't find in the list is the ark, the table of showbread, the menorah. You don't find any of that stuff there. It's gone. We don't where it went, I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. You know why Scripture doesn't tell us? It's not important. So all these people that are coming up, this guy found it over here, or, you know, it's under Roslyn Chapel, or the Knights Templar have it, or who cares? Who cares where it is? That's when I first started looking into Templar and Freemasonry and everything else, I thought that I was going to... God was going to lead me to find the Ark of the Covenant. And after a while I went, Why? I don't care. I don't care where it is. If they pulled it out tomorrow, I'd go, boy, the Lord's coming soon, because that my religion is not in that Old Testament ark. My faith is in the New Covenant, the New Testament. But I want you to see this, because now the way to God has been made. Christ is the veil. And I'm going to show you scripture here in a little bit. The veil is the flesh of Christ. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any of an holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So these people come along and tell you, what, you don't go to church on the Sabbath day? You've got the mark of the beast. Paul said, don't let them judge you on that stuff. You don't keep the fourth commandment? You got the mark of the Antichrist on you. Paul said, don't let them judge you. What, you didn't keep Passover? We had a Passover cedar at so-and-so's house. You know what the Passover cedar is? It is nothing more than Babylonian paganism that was introduced in the Passover feast. Most of what is done currently in Jewish tradition at the Passover is not recorded in Scripture. So these people that are boasting that they're holier than thou and they're closer to God because they kept the Passover and you keep Christmas and Easter, you bunch of pagans, practically most of everything they do at a Passover cedar does not come from the Scripture. Then it's not there. So he said, don't let them judge you on that stuff, because all that is a shadow of things to come. It's not the real. It's only the shadow of what's coming down the road. So now we go to Hebrews chapter 1. This is so beautiful. I love this. Hebrews chapter 1, and practically the whole chapter. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Paul likes to, he's like a lawyer in a courtroom. He's going to give you the summation now of everything that he said. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. That real temple, the real tabernacle of God, is what the Lord made himself. Man did not make it. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. He's talking about Christ. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. The old Ark of the Covenant is just a shadow. It's just like, boy, I'm hungry. Somebody says, well, here's a sandwich right here. Why don't you just have the shadow of the sandwich, and I'll eat the sandwich? And you're going, well, no, it's not going to do me any good. Bingo. The shadow does not do anybody any good. It's the real. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, speaking of Christ, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. You Hebrew roots people, it is not the renewed old covenant. It is a better covenant. Christ did not come down to mediate the terms of the Old Testament and the law. He did not. He came down to be the mediator of a new and better covenant, whereby the old covenant said, you must do all 618 things meticulously and flawlessly, and then you'll have eternal life. And nobody ever did, except Christ. That qualifies him to be the keeper of the law and of the old covenant. But he didn't come down here as these people are trying to jam down everybody's throat. He came down here to teach us how to live Torah. It's a lie, people. It's a lie. Because while you are bragging and boasting in yourself that you kept Torah of somehow, some way, if you kept 617 laws and didn't keep one, according to the Old Testament, you haven't done jack. You haven't done anything. You have not pleased God in any way and in any respect. He does not owe you more than he does everybody else. You're not first in line. You don't get the whipped cream and the cherry on top. You get nothing. Because the deal was, you either keep all of them or none of them. If a man offends the law in one point, he is guilty of all the law. So the old covenant is not the renewed, the covenant that Christ mediated is not the renewed old covenant. It is a better one. So it has nothing to do with an earthly ark. That's just a shadow. It has everything to do with the mercy seat of God on high. That's where his blood is. So, no, I don't believe Ron Wyatt's story that Christ died shedding his blood on the earthly ark of the covenant. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. It's not in Scripture. This is what he did right here. So, and it's established upon better promises. Verse 7, we're in Hebrews chapter 8. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So if we please God by keeping Torah, why did Christ die? For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. He said, it's not even going to look like the old covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Do you know somebody that's very, very old? I know somebody that's very old. And this person, and I love them dearly, they are ready to vanish away. It's because the old covenant only pertains to that which vanishes away. That's all it pertains to. The new covenant is made upon better promises, established upon better promises, and never passes away. So this ark, here's watch what's going to happen now. John Hagee, who teaches a dual covenant system, that God made a covenant with us Gentiles, that we're saved by grace. But those poor Jews, they got to have grace plus law keeping. You're wrong. This Ark of the Covenant that God's going to reveal to Israel, he's going to open the temple, and they're going to see the Ark of his Testament, not the Old Testament. The new one. The better one. The one that doesn't vanish away ever. That's what they're going to see. They can't see it now. They're partially blinded. They only read the Old Testament. It's got a veil on it. Let's keep reading. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant also had ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Not this one, that one. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Why? Hasn't been opened yet. Hasn't been revealed. The heavenly one has not been opened yet. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. So when Christ, at the time of the Aaronic priesthood, the Levite priesthood, the way to the most holy place was always covered in a veil. And you had all these thousands of priests that, yeah, they could do this and they could do that and they could go here, there, and everywhere. They could bake bread and put it on the... But there was only one man who could qualify to go once a year, only once a year, behind the veil to offer atonement for the sins of Israel. Only one man once a year. But first he had to do it for himself. And it had to be repeated over and over and over and over again every year. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Well, when Christ died and the veil rent in twain, now it's made manifest. Now everybody can know how to get to the most holy God. It is through the veil. I'll show you what the veil is in a minute. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure, there's typology for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So all of the people, and I've heard this from people, and I'm just stunned that people think this. People have said, well, the people in the Old Testament were saved by the law. No, they weren't. They were not saved by the law. Well, they were saved before Christ died. Did you know the Bible said Christ was slain from the foundation of the world? The Old Testament covenant, the law, did not ever save anybody. It doesn't make anybody perfect. Only the blood atonement of Christ makes people perfect. They accepted the Word of God by faith in the Old Testament. That's what saved them. That's what saves me. It's the same gospel. So anyway, verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. That time of Reformation was Christ and the New Testament, New Covenant. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Let me stop right here. Remember how Paul talked about Christ being a high priest, but he was not from Levi, was he? He was not from the third tribe. Levi was the third born son. He was not from Levi. Who was he from? The son right after Levi. The fourth one, Judah. The number four always pertains to the spiritual realm, spiritual kingdom. Okay? So he's not from Levi. He's from the order of Melchizedek, an order of angelic priests who attend to the temple of God in heaven. And Christ was the high priest of that order. Isn't that beautiful? He's not from Levi the third. It's from Judah the fourth. Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what I believe, eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yeah, I've done wrong. I've done some pretty rotten things in my life. My conscience has been purged. Because even though I know I did them, I know that I am unaccountable, clean, redeemed. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only Christ can do that. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. The ark of his testament is not the ark of the old covenant made by Moses. It is the throne of God, the mercy seat. Let us go, therefore, boldly to the throne of grace. That's what the ark is. So this is not some acacia. You know what acacia is? Shittim? It's thorns. That's what the ark was made of. It was gold overlaid over thorns, which shows you the flesh. That's not up in heaven that God's sitting on. That was only a shadow of things to come. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. Look at this. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. No, they were not saved by the Old Testament law. Nobody was. They were saved and all their sins were pushed forward to Christ on the cross, who died for them all. And they accepted it by faith. Beautiful. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, I know I'm looking at a lot of Hebrews, but that's the teaching of what this ark is. Now it's going to be seen. The seventh trumpet sounds, and now Israel sees. Remember when David wanted to carry the ark into Jerusalem. The first time he did it wrong and people died. There was a breach. The second time he did it, the four priests, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four come bearing in the ark of the testament with trumpets and with shoutings. Isn't that neat? I love this. And so that's what that was a picture of. The ark of the new testament coming to the people. And there's going to be a great shout on that day, and the trumpets are going to sound. So Hebrews 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Nobody was saved of the Old Testament law. Nobody was, ever. Or else, how could Abraham be saved? How could he have righteousness imputed unto him? He came before the law. God gave it to him because he believed what God said. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice. Now watch this. It didn't say when he came into the world, he said. Did you notice that? We're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. I noticed that last night. First time I ever noticed that. And I've preached on this several times. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith. I like this. This is now we're going to lead up into what Revelation 12 is. And may cover this ground again as we look at who this woman is and what this baby is she had. You're going to like this. But just think now. When Christ comes into the world, he says, and he's already came once, he's coming again. Notice what he said. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So we know that the flesh body of Jesus was prepared in the womb of Mary at his first coming. What then is the body that God prepares of his second coming? Us. A body hast thou prepared me. He said this before he left heaven the first time. He says it again when he comes the second time. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then see that? You can't please God in the old covenant. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. That's why the ark of the Old Testament covenant is gone. It's gone. Quit looking for it. Quit believing. Everybody said, oh, I found it. Where is it? Well, I can't tell you. It's a secret. God won't let me tell it to anybody. Come on. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Now, I do have a little running theory here. It is possible that the Old Testament ark will be brought out again, will be revealed, and people are going to fall for that. They're going to fall for it. But that's not the mercy seat of God. It's not the throne. That's not, has nothing to do with our salvation. It has nothing to do with the salvation and giving eternal life. The ark of the Old Testament doesn't do it. Okay? I think it's possible that the Antichrist will try to take custody of that ark. Okay? I sit in the seat of God. That's what was said in Ezekiel 28. And every priest standeth daily ministering. Oh, wait a minute. In verse 9, I come to do thy will, O God, who taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my... He's going back to Jeremiah 31 and quoting again what God had promised, that he was going to give them a better covenant, a new covenant, not like the one that was in the wilderness. He said, I put my laws into their hearts and their minds, and will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now, verse 19 and 20. This is going to build up to what's in Revelation 12. This is now the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. This is the new covenant, the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly throne, everything Christ, the heavenly priesthood, everything has to do with the heavenlies, not the earthly. So Christ had this body. It was made under the law, under the curse of the law. It was made under the law, this flesh body. And as long as Christ has that flesh body, that stands between Israel and the most holy place. So watch this. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So what's going to happen? And I've said this before, and I'm going to really hit this hard next week. We're going to do some really, really deep study. I want you to think deeply. Christ died on the cross. They put stripes on his back, crown of thorns on his head. He had piercings in his hands and feet and a wound in his side. They took his body. They put it 3 days in the tomb. God said that his body would not see corruption. His flesh would not see corruption, so it didn't. So the third day, that body rose again and lived again. And we know that it was the same body because he presented himself to Thomas saying, the holes in my hands and feet, put your hand into the wound in my side. Same body. And then in the book of Acts, he rose, he ascended, that body, Jesus in that body ascended to heaven. So one of these days now, his flesh body is going to be done away, and that's the veil. That's what it says here. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh. There is a veil right now between Israel and the most holy place. And that veil at the seventh trumpet and the shouting and everything, that veil is going to be done away with. And now that's going to be open. And this brings us into, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman who is going to give birth to a man-child who's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and he was caught up into heaven. Man, I love this. I want to get into this, but I'm going to wait until next week, and then we'll start studying. We're going to follow the trail of the Scriptures to see how Revelation 12 absolutely relates to you and I and our place in the kingdom of God. And I'm just study this. We are that body. We are the body of Christ's second coming. And just kind of ponder that for a while. And follow the trail of the physical flesh body that had prints in his hands and a hole in his side. Follow the trail of that. The transformation of Christ's body had not taken place yet. So that's why he cannot inherit the kingdom. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So he must, as the Bible talks about us making one new man, that new man is Christ at his second coming. And just kind of ponder that and think about that and study that through the Scriptures. And then we'll get into that next week. All the praise, you know what, I am going to show you this. All the praise goes to God. And this is something else God showed me last night. I was sitting there, Caleb was having football practice. And I was studying this out, and I was just sitting there going, God, you're amazing, God, you're awesome. It was about 8 o'clock at night, and last night was, it looked like a full moon. And I was sitting there watching that moon come up. And I'm looking at that great, bam, the thing was huge in the horizon. And I'm watching that moon come up, and I'm just, the Holy Ghost just speaking to me. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, that's a reflection. That's a reflection. It's not the true light. It's only a reflection of the true light. And I want to show you this. In Genesis 1:16, the Bible says this is on the fourth day. So we know we're dealing with spiritual things. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule over the day. That is the true light. And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So how many lights do we have? We have two. One's greater and one's lesser. How many hands do I have? I have two. Did you know that one of them is greater than the other? You see me doing all this here, okay? I cannot write my name with my left hand. So think about that. So we have two parts to our Bible. The greater light and the lesser light. Oh, I love this. Those who are telling you, you must go back now to keep the Torah, they're taking you into the darkness because you can't see the moon at noon. They're taking you back into darkness to see the lesser light. And the lesser light was made by God, but it was only made to be a shadow or a reflection of the true light of the world, Jesus Christ and the new covenant, the New Testament. That's all it does. And I'm just sitting there and the Holy Ghost going, Mike, it's a reflection. And see, just think about how Paul said we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. We behold as in a looking glass. And it's amazing to me. Knowledge is being increased right now. Because we go to the moon, we land our spaceships on the moon, find that it's not made of cheese. It, because of the millions of impacts of asteroids on the moon's surface and all these asteroids hitting at thousands of miles per hour, disintegrating into dust and heat is turning these asteroids into little bitty particles of very fine dust, glass. The lunar surface is made of glass. That's why it reflects so well the light of the sun. So when you're looking at the moon, when you're looking at the lesser light, you're only looking at a reflected image of the true light of the New Testament. That is so beautiful. I drove home in tears last night. God, why are you so good to me? God, why are you? God's so good. He is so good to all of us. God can show me this stuff. Listen, God can show anybody that wants to believe what this book says without changing it. God will show it to you. All right? I love you. God bless you. Thanks for being with me today. Pray for me always. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.